हरि ओम सहना भवतु सहना भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासरि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Bottom of 18. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. He fell from his position in yoga and worship of the Lord by the influence of karmas of this life which manifested in a small year to him. Prarabdha karma is of two types, auspicious and inauspicious. The first type occurs by the will of the Lord. To increase longing for devotion to the Lord, like sharp ointment applied to the eyes. This is accepted favorably by the devotee. Being similar to prarabdha karma, it is accepted as such. Right? That's why we say it's my karma, when technically we don't have karma. Yeah. But it's accepted as such, because the Lord arranges it. That which creates more intense bhakti in the future takes place in those who already possess rati or bhava. The second type consists of results of actions of previous lifetimes, which manifest later as absorption in material life. In the verse, the first type is indicated by word su and swarabdha karmana. He fell from his austerity of rejecting material enjoyment, which was produced by bhakti yoga. The word cha means even. Even though bhakti does not have great obstacles, he fell from worship of the Lord by the will of the Lord. How else could he fall, except by prarabdha karma, arranged by the will of the Lord? He had already given up his sons. Or he fell by the semblance of karma in the form of a deer. Though the jiva muktas do not have any false identity, they have a semblance of false identity. Right? There's some slight flavor still left. Right? Until you get to basically purva rag, there's going to be that aspect that there's still a fragrance or flavor of the one's previous conditioned nature. Right? At that point, then that's what gets burnt up. Then one can therefore take up that association with the Lord. Yes.
Purvaraga means karma?
No, purvaraga means the mature stage, you could say, of Shravana Dasa. That makes sense? Not Shravana Dasa, excuse me, Smarana Dasa. In bhava, you have the five stages of bhava sadhana. Yes, so the middle one, so Smarana Dasa. And that goes through the five stages. I can't remember. Smriti, Anusmriti, and like that. They're standard yoga terms for meditation. So you get to dhyan and then samadhi. Right? And so samadhi means you're fully absorbed in the Lord. So there's nothing else. So at that point, then that complete attachment or attraction to the Lord awakens. Right? Because there's already attachment before from asakti, but now it becomes to its full form. Does that make sense? So at that point, what happens is all of one's previous karmas, the fragrances of that are all completely burnt up.
Mm-hmm. And that's smarana dasa within bhava.
Within bhava sadhana.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right? Then one's able to go into apandas, where one then can become an associate of the Lord. Mm-hmm. Right, because before that, technically, you're not an associate. Mm-hmm. You're in the Dham, you're there, you're hearing about, you're seeing it like this, but you're not actually directly interacting with the Lord at that point.
They tolerate you.
Not so much they tolerate, but yeah. If you want to look at that that particular angle, yes, then I can, like that, but. That's one of the advantages of going there is all those kind of people you leave behind here, right?
So actually, because he's on such a high level, as we touched on earlier.
But he hasn't gotten to Purvaraga
yet.
No,
that scent is enough.
That scent is enough.
Yeah.
Because the Purvaraga, then also we see is that you get, means how you come to that platform is having that desire. So therefore, you take up the association of the advanced devotees.
Yes.
And from what the Lord is mentioning, it's going to be brought up how he's missing that association.
Yes.
So it means he hasn't quite come to that platform yet.
Yes.
So he's liberated. He's on the platform of Bhava. Right? So he knows he's servant to the Lord. So he seems to be a Vaikuntha devotee. Mm-hmm. Right? He's comfortable, you know, kind of in his own position. But it appears that his meditation hasn't come to that completeness. But it appears, you know, it's going quite well, but it hasn't come to that complete stage, right? I mean, so we get technical about it. So there you can see is that at that point you could fall, because generally it doesn't appear that once you get to Apandas, that there's much to go wrong. Because you have the association of the devotees, you're directly associating with the Lord in the pastimes.
And that's probably why they use him as an example.
Yes, and so then you come up to the platform where then that becomes just who you are, right? Because there's no fragrance of before, there's nothing, you don't even worry about any of that before. So then you come to the stage, sampattidas, or inherit, right? Because inheriting something is something that's yours, but you don't have it yet till you qualify, right? The son, the property's his, but he won't get it until he matures, and then, you know, whatever it is, on the 18th, his 21st birthday, or when he accomplishes something, you know, when he finishes his second PhD, or whatever it is that the father sets as, then he gets his. You know.
When the father dies.
Yeah, but here, since you know, you're talking about Krishna and Guru, they're eternal, so that one won't work. Yeah, that one's not gonna fly. But the point is, you know, there has to be that
qualification.
Yes, so that means then you come to that point. And that's from there then into prema. So basically, it seems sampattidas and prema are basically, you know, synonymous. But in some sense. So generally, sampattidas, that's the point when we'll, if someone is on that platform here in this body, that's generally the time when we'll say they died.
Yes.
Right? So then that will be what we discussed before was vasuki sleep. Like that. Because Swarup City means that you're in your position, but you're still here. Vastu City means you're only there. Right? So if somebody dies here, like let's say the neophyte dies, but he chants Hare Krishna, he goes back there. He's in the position, he has his Vastu, but he's still going to start from that beginning, the platform. So however much he was developed, he'll start from there.
Vastu City was the highest.
This thing is overlap. Just Vastu means you don't have two bodies.
Okay. Yes.
You don't have the material and the spiritual. You only have the spiritual. So that would mean you have there. But it's not that necessarily Vastu means it's the highest, because if someone dies here, they go and it is Vastu.
Spirit can overlap.
Yes, like that. But they still have to learn where they are.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
So in that way, you could say even though he has his spiritual body, he still has to get used to it, learn and understand his position. So then you could be talking about the Swarup.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? So the point is it's just a matter of which aspect you're bringing out, you use the terminology.
Yes.
So, yes.
So the Vastu City, then Krishna grants you that body. So it's that body that...
Yeah, that's what you have.
Yeah.
But the thing is, yes, it appears it's there. But at the same time, as you do have the aspect where one can... I'm not sure if it means in a spiritual body or bodies here. Haridas Thakur makes the point that if you're not careful about this fragrance, then you can actually stay in that position and not get to Purvaraga for hundreds of lifetimes.
Yeah.
But I think that's more being said just that we take it seriously. I don't think it's a standard thing that happens. Because you only hear that one time of him talking about it. Because otherwise you never hear about it. But the point being is that this idea that I'm the controller and enjoyer in all ways, all shapes, and all forms has to be given up. So that one is, I'm an advanced devotee, I am a guru of devotees. That's the subtlest, final point of I'm the control and enjoy it. So if that's there, then even though you're on the platform of Bhava, you can get stuck.
Because it's actually true, what you're saying.
It is true. Yeah,
so then...
Yeah, so you have to be careful about that. Otherwise, then it can create problems. Does that make sense? So that means you can see problems happening for someone on the Uttam platform at this point. Because technically, of Uttamas, they're the neophyte.
Yeah.
Yes. Right? Once they get to Apandas, then they're the Madhyamas. Yeah. And once they get to Prema, then they're the Uttamas. Yes. You know? Is that makes sense?
Yes.
Yeah. It's neophyte way over our head.
Yeah. Pretty high level of neophyte.
Yeah. You know, it's like your entrance model is a... 5-year-old Ferrari, so it's within the thing, it's a little lower, but it's still compared to us, where it's doing okay, So.
Yes.
Okay.
Ambassador.
vroom, vroom. It comes to mind as Simpsons, cartoon. There's this old, jalopy out in the forest. It's one of those ones falling apart, no windows and doors and, no wheels and that, but it's sitting there. And then there's two bears inside, right? They're sitting in the front seat. One's got the, steering wheel, the other one, and they're all looking really serious. And they're saying, yeah, bears out of hell. Yeah, so that's us. Yeah.
Yes. In the situation you mentioned where Paras Pati says you can be for 100 lifetimes.
Hundreds.
Yeah. In,
don't miss crop.
In the association of the devotees,
that... Then that won't happen. The point is that means you never got the association. See, that's the point, is that you can be in the spiritual world and not have the association of devotees. That's why it's a very weak position to not like devotees now.
Yes.
Because if you don't like them here, you might find when you get there, you still don't like them. Because they're the same people, right? Of course, they're purified, so a lot of things are gone, but,
It's sort of missing the point, isn't it?
Yes, so that's the thing, you can get caught up in the secondary attributes of it. But you're smart enough to not get into the material side, like we did before, but not smart enough to get into it. So it's only pointed out because it's possible, though it generally doesn't happen. Because it says once you go there, you never return. Right? So here, he's still in the body here, even though he may be on that platform. But, so there can be some problem. Once you go there, generally you'll never. In other words, mathematically it's possible. But it just doesn't happen.
What's the dynamic nature?
Dynamic, and Krishna's there and all that stuff. When it says no one falls in the spiritual world, means no one does. It's not that it's not, possible, but it just doesn't happen. Like that. So... there's always the balances, because we make it too, I'm good, then we don't take seriously. And they say, 100 likes, oh no, it's not possible, so it's always, you have to, yes.
And the talk here is about Goku?
Yes. Yeah, because Goloka is only, once you come to Prema, then you go to Goloka. Because there's no difference for, at least for those from Goloka, they don't see any difference. Where we'll make the difference. Oh, that's here, that's not there, so it's not really the spiritual world. No, but for those that are from the spiritual world, it's the same. Is that, it's like the embassy. It's exactly, it is the country.
Yes. So, when the devotee thinks of Krishna, the element of that,
right.
And then he goes back.
Yes.
The position the devotee depends on what?
It just meant how far have you advanced. So in other words, you'll continue where you left off. The difference is let's say I'm at the platform of, let's say Nishta here. Remember Krishna, go back to Godhead. So then I will end up there, I will be basically in that position of Nishta. But the difference being is the Anartha Nivriti is much more complete because I'm liberated. Right? So that means that I'll move from there to Ruchi to Sattva very much more quickly. Right? Well, here it may be more slow, because there there's no obstacles, so then you move very quickly. Does that make sense? Yeah. So that's the whole point, is that's why one has to be serious. Otherwise it's just, oh, we're just here, okay, you go there and everything's... It will be taken care of. But it's taken care of because we're serious. Right? So if we follow the process seriously, it automatically works. It's not that we don't follow seriously and it's automatic. You understand? Yeah. So the element of automatic is for encouragement. You don't have to worry about how it's going to work. You just have to apply yourself to what you're supposed to do.
So to think, oh, I just think of Krishna and go back is not enough.
It is enough, but how are you going to think of Krishna? What's your game plan? Right? You know, be attached to your kid. You know what I'm saying? Just continue from this morning, right? You know, is that so? So what's the game plan? That's why then we're taking care of the kid, but we have to chant our japa. We have to, you understand? So that was the problem here, is that Bharat Maharaj wasn't thinking of the Lord. Therefore, he ended up as a deer, right? And if we look at it from another point here, is how is it when the Bhagavad Gita says, once one takes up devotional service, it saves us from the greatest fear, which is taking birth in the animal kingdom. Because the animal kingdom is not really meant for, you know, devotional life. It's not that we, you know, when no one's looking, the jackals are sitting around chanting the japa and stuff like that. You know? But they do chant a lot of gore, like that. Yeah. Does that make sense? So we can see it's Krishna's arrangement. Because he's a deer, but he's self-realized. Or as Prabhupada mentioned, the dogs, monkeys, and tortoises, they're in Vrindavan. You can imagine they're tortoises. They're living in Radhakund. Right? We go there and, you know, rather take a bath and, you know, like this. They live there. Can you imagine 24/7? And how long does a turtle live? Long time. That's a lot of Radhakund bathing. You know, so they get very purified. So it's a unique thing. They're not dogs and monkeys and tortoises somewhere else. You know, they're not on the, what do you call it, Galapagos? You know, they're not out there. You know, they're in Vrindavan. You know, we don't have tortoises here, so they'll have to stay in Vrindavan. You know, monkeys we have, dogs we have. We got dogs. You know, I think we got more dogs than they got. We get the turtles, we get the dogs, and the monkeys kind of. Yes.
Mark, so if we follow the scenario that we only certain level of development, say Nishtha, and then we remember Krishna and we go back to God. But then the question comes in, what is the body that we appear there?
Because that's your spiritual body. What is your Suru? The Ekadasa Bhav, that's what you appear in.
But that's undeveloped, apparently, on that level.
And undeveloped because it's not that the body is there, it's the consciousness is undeveloped.
Yeah.
But the body's there. So you do have that body, you do look like that, you do have that family, you do have this certain, you know, these things. But coming into that service and taking that up and all that there. So yes, it has to develop. So you can say, now from the, you know, Vasu, you've inherited it. You know, now you have you could say, the full manifestation of the Ekadasa Bhava.
So I'm just trying to understand. Although we are not conscious about it, it's still there.
Yeah, it's there. I think there's a. I've been told a few times that there. We may get into it when we get to the Sandarbhas. That Jiva Goswami talks about. It's like leaving your coat, you know, in the cloak room before you go into the building. So we come and we leave our spiritual body there, hanging at the door, and then come into the material world.
Yeah. I heard this is only one place he mentions.
Yeah, but that's all it takes. In other words, things that you don't want, things that either are, you know, real but not a major point, are mentioned so little, or it's mentioned so little because if it's mentioned more, it will create trouble. Right? So this is one of those. It only needs to be mentioned once, and once is good enough. It's there. It means we have our natural shroom. It doesn't mean you can't change it to something else if you want. Otherwise, why does Raghunath Das make the point, is, you know, to his mind to only focus on Vrindavan? Right? He says, don't get distracted by the Lord of Vaikuntha. Otherwise, you could switch. But if you follow the natural course, that's your form.
Because there is a certain group of devotees, and they profess that strongly, that unless you develop it here, you're not going to get it in there, because it isn't there.
No, it's there. How are you going to... Let's say, that means, okay, there's been many devotees leaving their bodies over the last, 20 years, okay? Now, would all of them, you say, were on the Uttam platform?
No.
So then, does that mean they can't go back to Godhead?
This is the question.
Yeah, so Prabhupada doesn't say that. Prabhupada says, you remember Krishna, you go back to Godhead. You don't remember Krishna, you end up somewhere else. Tallahassee! Oh my God. it's already there. The point is this, it's... Well-situated married women will talk about within the married life, amongst themselves, things that are important, right? What about ones who are, about to get married? Yeah, they talk about all kinds of stuff that's not necessarily important, and the proportions of it are. That's what we're talking about. That's why you see Srila Prabhupada, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, they talk about what you need to get there.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
So that's the whole point, is what it's just like this, that what's going to make the marriage work, right? It's going to be the character. Mm-hmm. So the young girl is being trained in the character. Right? She doesn't really know about boys, but she's being trained in the character. She knows that she's going to get married. Ever since they're three, they know they're getting married. Right? So the whole point, the point is that, but it's the training, the character and all that. That's where the married women who are successful, that's where they'll focus. Right? But you see, the teenage girls may be talking about all kinds of other things. You have to get this together and that together. Unless you have this, and it won't work with that. Does that make sense? So we have to be careful about that.
Yes.
So in other words, if it's in line with Srila Prabhupada and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur are saying, and it's just giving a furtherance on that, then that's okay. But if it's giving a whole different angle on it, then that's generally that's the teenage viewpoint. And the farther it is off, then that might even be the adolescence. So, does that make sense? So that's why it's a subject matter that's generally not discussed, because it's beyond our position. So we're discussing it, but we see in connection with consciousness, right? Trying to understand the position of consciousness, that you're going to continue your consciousness, but you're going to be on the Uttama platform. But as we see here, it doesn't mean that you can't run into trouble on the Uttama platform. So therefore, you could get stuck as a resident of Braj for hundreds of lifetimes and never actually take up the association of the Nitya Siddhas.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So, with that as it's, therefore, if you stick to what Prabhupada recommends in that mentality, then automatically in one lifetime you'll go through and it'll become perfect.
I'm just thinking, is because it's not discussed much, then people just speculate a lot.
They speculate a lot and they put into their own kind of angles. Like, unless you talk about the gopis, you won't get there. But the point of the gopis is the full surrender. So it's not that only those who are gopis themselves appreciate it. Bhishma Dev, he appreciates the surrender of the gopis. Uddhava appreciates the surrender of the gopis. Narada appreciates the surrender of the gopis. Right? So these are all Vaikuntha people. Right? So that's not that. So when we talk about the following the footsteps and mood of the gopis, we mean not the secondary, we mean the primary. Because that's what makes Braj Braj. It's not the secondary. right? It's the primary that makes Braj what it is, that makes Dwarka, that makes Vaikuntha, Ayodhya. It's a particular kind of love. So if that is what's followed, then everything else will follow, the secondary will follow behind it, because Ekadas Bhav is secondary. It is how you express that Braj Bhakti. That's why it's generally presented that the Ekadas Bhav is the first stage, and then you adjust with it. No, the first stage is Braj Bhakti. The second stage is adjusting with that in your Sarup as the Ekadas Bhav. You understand? So that's why when they start with that, that means they don't know what they're talking about. It's actually the mood of the gopi. So we see that Prabhupada and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur are talking and training us in Bhav Sadhana, the first three stages. But from the angle of understanding Braja Bhakti, you know, I'm servant of the Lord, trying to adjust with I'm servant of the Lord, and always trying to remember Krishna. Right? The advanced stages, they don't talk about it. But also the sadhus don't talk about them either, because they don't care for rules and systems anyway. So, it's very slight things. That's what we're trying to adjust to. Is Bhagavatam's giving us these slight differences. You know, what we thought before was all in one category. Now we start to see those categories within that. You know, it's just before we thought, you know, in a nice hotel where there's not cockroaches, it's pretty good. And then you find out there's actually gradations of hotels without cockroaches. Wow. You know, So that's the thing, is as you get there, then you can deal with it, because you'll have the qualifications. So these give, so in other words, what's here, that will give us the qualifications for the further points.
Yes.
Like this. And we've gotten to this stage by appreciating, you know, what was in the fourth canto. We were able to do that by appreciating third canto and second canto. You can see as it builds. So it is a step by step study. Syriac. Yes. Is that okay? Like that. So in other words, what we're saying was not have a problem with the Acharyas are saying, you know, in the way of either the philosophical points or even these other points of, you know, how all this stuff works. It's just a matter of, for us, we have to understand the principles. Because the details, you know, there's no way you're going to figure it out. Until you get farther up. You know? Our pay grade is still too low.
I was at a class with Fakir Mohan, and there was one devotee who asked the question. He got up and he had this bottle, and he said, "I have here Radha Kund water for you. I tapped it exactly at midnight," and he went and he looked at him and said, "That's all right, I don't really have water." The guy was like, "What?"
Because
it was just way beyond.
You know, it's just like the Radha Kund is good anytime. It's just that's a time when we remember that it appears, not that moment makes it.
But it was also so beautiful, because he just, in a very nice way, said, "Just don't worry about stuff."
Yeah, no, it's very good. Forget. In Vrindavan once, Prabhupada was saying about the devotee cleaning the dust. There's too much dust in this room. And then the devotee, "But Prabhupada, it's Vrindavan dust, it's Chintamani." Prabhupada said, "I just see dust." You know, in other words, you know, your service is to clean the dust. You know, like that. Or like you see, Prabhupada translates all the Sanskrit and gives all the breakdown and things like that. Does Vedic Sanskrit, which very few scholars can do. But when the big scholars that speak Sanskrit that are so proud of it come and speak to Prabhupada in Sanskrit, he just answers back in English. He knows what they're saying, but he doesn't encourage their, you know,
flowery language.
Yeah, their scholarliness. Yes. So that's what we mean. The married girls deal in a completely different way. You know, it's just like, you know, learn to dress, be clean, take care of your stuff. You know, they're thinking about, you know, all other things. No, you just, you know, you can't keep your room nice, how you keep a whole house nice, you know. That kind of thing. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, being similar to Parabdha Karma, it is accepted as such. Okay. In the verse, the first type is indicated by... Okay, we're good. Okay, though the Jivan Muktas do not have any false identity, they have a semblance of false. That's where we got into the semblance, not the fragrance. Similarly, those who have developed Rati do not have corrupted karma, but have semblance of corrupted karma. So when we say it's a corrupted karma, because we're talking about this semblance, we're not talking about solid, you know, run you over Mack truck corrupted karma here, you know. Yes.
Yeah.
Or he fell down because of the inferior fawn, though auspicious parabdha karma, through auspicious parabdha karma. Right? So the inferior fawn, because the fawn wasn't an advanced devotee. And because of that attachment and everything like that, then by that association he fell down through parabdha, this auspicious parabdha karma, in other words, Krishna's arrangement. Under the influence of his good parabdha karma, Bharata took care of the deer. Otherwise, if there had been no good karma, he would not have a desire to care for the deer. Because right? Otherwise, why would he care for the deer? Right? He's left his family and everything. Why does he care for anybody else? Bharata's fall, however, was arranged by the Lord for the purpose of increasing his longing for bhakti after taking birth as a deer and a Brahmin. So then, for the devotee, they're on that platform, it doesn't really matter where they are, because they're always thinking of the Lord. It just increases that, because you could do this also in the spiritual world. But by doing it here, by Krishna's arrangement, then we get the benefit and see how it works.
Yes.
You know, just like we said before, you gave the example of Narada. That was you? You said about Narada Muni.
Yeah.
Yes, about Narada Muni. So he heard the Lord, and then after that he didn't hear again.
Yes.
And so that just increased his longing. Yes. So that's the Lord's arrangement. So it appears that it's not good, but it's actually auspicious for Rabda Karma, because it brings you to Krishna. Inauspicious is what's left over, the fragrance or that from previous life, that then gets us to act in ways that are not Krishna conscious. Mm-hmm. So,
this is similar to Chitraketu Maharaj also.
Chitraketu.
Like Lord Sankarsan wanted.
I don't know if it's so much increased. It may, yes, you would say definitely it has that, because whatever the position, the devotee is always going to be increasing their love for the Lord. So yes, but yes, you could say is that would have the example, but in that story it's more, it's taking another angle about, you know, not offending Vaishnavas and what's the real victory. Victory is going back to Godhead is the real victory, not winning here in the material world. Is that something? Sorry. But yes, you could say this is all the arrangement of the Lord, right? Because you could say as he came into a fallen position that he went from, you know, this king into a demon. So that would be the auspicious corrupted karma. Yes.
So there also it said as a Gandharva it could have taken long time.
Are you talking about now? You're mixing. Now you're going. Chitraketu was a Gandharva?
No, he is. Means that life when he is offending.
Oh yeah, no, it could take a while. But then as a demon, then it seems to go fairly quickly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes, then it would take a long time. So it's, yes, that's the auspicious parabdha karma, yes. Under the influence of his good parabdha karma, Bharata could carry the deer. Bharata's fall, however, was arranged by the Lord for the purpose of increasing his longing for bhakti after taking birth as a deer in the Brahman. The Lord has said, but the reason I do not immediately reciprocate the affection of living beings, even when they worship me, O gopis, is that I want to intensify the loving devotion. Because his is increasing, so he wants to do the same with the devotees. Because it's increasing in him, and he's finding greater and greater satisfaction, so he wants the same for the devotees. They then become like a poor man who has gained some wealth and then lost it, and who thus becomes so anxious about it that he can think of nothing else. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:32:20, right? So he had that Krishna consciousness, he lost it, now he's a deer. Right? So now he's just going to be thinking of that lost Krishna consciousness 24 hours a day.
Yes.
He did not think of himself. Death arrived, like a snake approaching a mouse hole. Okay, so this must be, he did not think of himself, means he wasn't thinking of the position of him being the soul. You know. So he was just thinking of the deer, and then death arrived, and that was it. Srila Jiva Goswami comments on verse 26 in his Bhakti Sandarbha, Anuchedas 157 through 161. Here's an example of absorption in other objects which make one fall from steadiness in the Lord. His heart, afflicted by unflinching, unfulfilled desire, Bharat fell from his practice of yoga, from his detachment from material enjoyment achieved by bhakti, and even from his worship of the Lord. By the Lord's special arrangements of Prarabdha Karma through the appearance of the young deer. Right, so heart, unfulfilled desire. So whatever was there, then that came up.
Yes.
So that's that aspect of the Prarabdha Karma. But it's done in such a way that he becomes more interested in the Lord. So that's Prabhupada mentions that the Krishna, when he fulfills the material desire, he does it such a way that it removes that desire.
Yes.
You know, you get it, but it's, you know, it's... You always see that, well, useless. So it comes out like that. Yeah. It should be understood that it is not possible that Prarabdha Karma could create obstacles to bhakti, since that karma is weak. Right? Bhakti is strong, it's eternal. Karma is weak, it's temporary. So it can't actually create like that. But, you know, for us it'll look like that, because what's getting in the way is our desires. Mm-hmm. Whether we want bhakti or not. But if we're focused on bhakti, nothing can get in the way.
Yes.
Rather, it was offense from previous life that caused this obstacle, such as the case of Indradumna and others also. Some previous offense, that's what gets in the way. That's why one always has to be careful with offenses. Because by that, then we get stuck.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Okay. 158. Some consider that the Lord himself makes Prarabdha Karma strong in such devotees to increase their longing for him. Thus, in a deer's body, his longing increased. And though Narada had developed rati in his previous birth, the contamination remained for this reason also. Oh, in this body you will not be able to see me again. But lax practitioners who still have some contamination cannot see me at all. Right? So there's an encouragement. It means if someone wasn't practicing seriously, they don't even see him at all. He's seen him. That means he was a nice practitioner. But he won't see him again. Right, not in this life. So that just increases his attraction.
Yeah.
Right? But because he's absorbed in Krishna, it appears to be an unfavorable situation, but it actually is not.
Yes.
Right? Because he, as this was previously explained, that, I think that was what, Briya Bhagavatamrita, he's explaining that absorption in Krishna, you're associated with Krishna directly, but because it's in meditation, the feeling is that you're not with Krishna, even though you're actually with Krishna. So the difference is, some bhog is here associating with Krishna through meditation, I mean personally, and Vipralamba means it's through meditation. Because Krishna and his meditation or Krishna's name are non-different, you're actually fully associating, but they give different flavors. So one gives the flavor of Sambhog, one gives the flavor of Vipralamba. Though Krishna's in everything and all that, it's all Krishna, so you're not, but it's still because that personal presence on the Bhagavan feature is not there, it gives therefore the flavor of Vipralamba.
Mm-hmm.
Like that. So there's no question of at any time being separated from Krishna, but the flavor is that you are.
Yes.
Right? Mm-hmm. So it's not that they're suffering. So, 160. An example of absorption in material objects caused by offense is Gajendra, when he was enjoying. Now, laxity and bhakti will be discussed. Okay. So because Indradumna, there was something that happened previously, therefore he ended up as Gajendra, who's sitting there and enjoying with all the elephants. Right? He's come down to the water because the elephants like to be in water, And as it was mentioned before, when a, you know, that rich and powerful man, then he may find for relaxing himself. Then he goes down to, you know, some water spot with so many women, and then there they have, you know, pastimes, splashing, talking, laughing, like that. You know, so he, you know, he's an elephant. He's the head of the, you know, big elephant, you know, head of the herd. So he's going down there with all the she elephants that are going to go play in the water. You know, same principle. So that enjoying mood has come from the offense in the previous. Is that?
This kind of the karma, is it just only after nishtha or also before nishtha?
Means corrupt karma means the results of your activities. Your body is corrupt. Corrupt means just the fruit. So it's happening every time. But what we're meaning is that inauspicious corrupt karma is just what's there from your karma itself. Auspicious corrupt karma is what Krishna arranges based on your corrupt karma.
Okay.
But he arranges it so you remember Krishna. Right? Parabdha karma is what makes you forget Krishna. Right? So it's using the same term because it's in the same kind of category. But one is being controlled by Maya, one's being controlled by Krishna.
So, but that's from the very beginning of
bhakti. Parabdha is from the very beginning when you came into the material world.
I mean, and it's controlled by Krishna.
Yes, that's from the very beginning.
Okay.
As soon as one has Shraddha, then it's happening. Right? Even before that, Krishna is controlling to some degree that you come in contact with devotees. But once you have Shraddha, but the point is the more advanced you go, then you see that the more it's reduced. So then it's more, it'll more just be how Krishna arranges it.
It's more visible.
It's more visible, yeah. But otherwise, it's always going to be there because there's always going to be the situation where you do something that doesn't go right, and then, you know, so then you can say it's my karma. So, yeah. But in these personalities, it's being brought out that this highest level of this auspicious parabdha karma is being applied. Right? Because it makes them, they become absorbed in Krishna.
Yes.
Yeah. Now laxity and bhakti will be discussed. By this one develops absorption in happiness and distress from internal and external causes. Right? Mm-hmm. So you become, the happiness is something, the distress is something, but you, from either it's generated from internally or it's generated from external. Right? Because it means the external will generate that you'll think about it, or you can just think about it on your own. Right? You know, we don't even need outside stimuli to make a bad situation for ourselves. But you know, self-sufficiently produce. You know,
scarily true.
Yes,
spontaneous.
Spontaneous. Yeah, we've been at it a long time.
Yes. You
know, so we're good at it. We're good. Okay. Those who are fixed in bhakti disregard these influences. It's not that they don't come up, because we have this idea, oh, it'll just go away, and it's just that it comes up and you don't care.
Yes. Yes.
Like that.
Yes. You know,
so that's the... Yes.
So this is a level of nishtha.
You could say it would start there, yeah. But it means you'll get the effect at any time in bhakti. But you'll see it'll be prominent. You know, so it means even the newest neophyte, there'll be times when he makes a determined thing or doesn't care about something. You know, like let's say, maybe an archaic example, a devotee develops that Shraddha, comes, moves into the temple, all of his, whatever he has, you know, he gives it all to the devotees, he doesn't care. So this is, but he's not bothered by it.
Yes.
You know, later on he thinks, why did I do that?
That's a disagreement with the temple president.
Yeah, yeah, then it's like, you know.
So now is this point to disregard material happiness or distress.
Yes.
It's like it's one very important step in that.
Yes, way. Yes. Because, see, we're thinking, we may be thinking that I'll always be happy, there'll never be a distressful situation.
Yes.
What it means is I'll never be affected by over happy and distressful situations. Right? It means it's happy, I don't forget Krishna, it's distressful, I don't forget Krishna.
Yes.
That's the point, because it's remembering Krishna that actually makes us happy. Because even in the, you see this temporarily in the materialist. If he's in a good mood, even things are going wrong, he doesn't care. And at other times, you know, like you said, he's in a bad mood, even if things are right, he'll find fault. You know, it's like, so it's saying, was joking that, you know, how you say, it's been so long, that, you know, they'd be doing something in the house and you know, they'd laugh or something like that, and the mom's, you know, it's a bad hair day. You know, so it's like, you know, rah, like this is, everyone's tiptoeing around the house because they're tiptoeing. Why are you doing that? Yeah. Like this, you know? So it's like, you know, there's nothing you can do, right? Right? You know, so.
Damned if you do that.
Yeah, yeah. So that's the thing. So, but if you're happy, it doesn't matter what's going wrong. Who cares?
Yeah.
So that's the thing is that, but that's only coming by the modes of nature. So it comes and goes, and that's why, you know, we want to get that kind of situation. So that came in this situation, so I replicate that situation. That doesn't work, so a similar kind of situation. Of what was it that made this? Okay, it was a new, something new, it was adventurous. So I did what I did before and got it, that didn't work. You know, I was climbing a mountain, so let's try jumping out of an airplane. Or, you know what I'm saying? Go to Japan and eat blowfish or something. You know, it's just, you know, something new that you're, you know, you don't. You know. So, but it's not that, it's the modes of nature. Is that something sense? So, in devotional service, it's, you're absorbed in Krishna. So, it's not the modes. That's why when these things come up, you're unaffected. Because you're satisfied in Krishna conscious. Oh. Just the way the hand moved, I thought it's 10:20.
Time flies, I guess.
Yeah. No, I thought in the morning. I was thinking, why are we here? Are we supposed to be here? Okay.
It's absorption.
Hmm? Yeah. Yeah. I'll look at it upside down.
Yeah.
Okay. There is no inauspiciousness for the devotees of Vasudeva. Fear of birth, death, old age, and disease does not arise. Sahasranama Stotra. The practicing devotee's desire to protect the body does not arise from the desire to protect the body, but from greed to increase worship of the Lord. Right? He only takes care of the body because then I can use it to serve the Lord. It's not that he's protecting it because that's his shelter. He thinks this is what will make me happy. Does that make sense? So that's why it mentions that, you know, desiring good health is the only thing that you would seemingly think is material that the devotee may have. Because if he's in good health, he can do his service nicely. Right? You know, because in the spiritual world, bodies there aren't affected by hunger, thirst, fatigue, anything like that. And somehow over here, that seems to be one of their major occupations. Yeah, it seems to be hardwired. This desire does not harm his bhakti. Right? So he's only taking care, like Prabhupada would go out on his walk. Mm-hmm. I think Bhavananda was saying once that they came back from Africa, I think Kenya. And when you come into India, you have to have this card that says you have to have all these vaccines. Do they still use that card?
Yeah,
the yellow card. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, we used to get them in Calcutta. In those days, I think they cost us 20 rupees, like that. I don't think anybody ever got the shots. He just went and got one. Right? Does it still work like that? Or?
So make sure I have to get them.
You actually have to get them these days. What's India coming to?
They get
the extra
ones too.
They
want that.
Hey, what's this? Whoa, Ebola!
This may hurt a little bit.
Yeah, but before you didn't require them. You know? I mean, you cried the paper, but you didn't have to actually do it. But you cried the paper. So somehow or another, because
Always happy. He's a teacher, so he's always happy. That's the symptom of Brahma. Brahma always happy.
So then.
Shots.
Prabhupada. Yes, Prabhupada Shots, yeah. So then I think Shyamasundara, he was the secretary of that. He thought, oh, this is all just a sham anyway, so it doesn't matter. So he didn't bother getting them. Mm-hmm. So when they came back into India, then they didn't have the little cards and so like that, so they put Prabhupada in quarantine. You know? So I think it was Prabhupada and Bhavananda were in quarantine. You know? And then Prabhupada's there and he's not very happy. He's pacing back and forth within the little place that they have them, looking out the window at the nice gardens out there where, you know, Indian gentlemen are walking, and he's really upset. And Bhavananda was kind of thinking, you know, well, would, you know, just sit here and chant, you know, what's the big deal? Prabhupada's point is, if I don't walk, then there's no digestion. And if there's no digestion, then you get sick and you can't do any service. And if I can't do any service, then everything falls apart. So he says, you know, you have to get me out there. Because for Prabhupada, the morning walk was so he could maintain and do all his service. Yes. And you see, while he go out on the walk, he talked with devotees and like that.
Yes.
So that's what it's meaning here. So this desire does not harm his bhakti. So,
yeah. Yes.
Okay. If there is laxity in bhakti, which is antithetical. Why is it that sometimes they go to that kind of how I said, and other times you do the other? Whichever one you choose is the wrong one, right? Yeah. You know, because there's so many words where you do it like this, but then they, you know, homeopathy. You know, it's like, so you have all these, and then this one, okay, we do the fancy one, and it's the other one. Okay. Okay. Antithetical.
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 You can probably say antithetical.
Okay.
Depends which side of the Atlantic you're from.
Which side of the pole. Yes, okay.
Proper, or improper.
Yes. If there's a laxity in bhakti, which is antithetical, antithetical to bhakti, and does not disappear even by practice of bhakti, full of taste in a devotee able to make distinctions, the cause is offense. So in other words, someone has taste in devotional service, but there's a laxity in some area. That means that it's due to offense somewhere. Right? So that's having a reaction. Right? However, the person incapable of recognizing offense, or an ignorant person, is capable of attaining perfection by a little bhakti. That person gains extra mercy of the Lord who is merciful to the weak. Right? So someone who doesn't even know what to do, what's going on, even though they're constantly making offenses, but they're so enthusiastic, that's just kind of let slide.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? You know, it's like little kids. They do all kinds of things and everybody lets it go.
Yeah.
Like that.
Enthusiasm is like... It's very essential in order to make, to be enthusiastic. It's very essential.
Yes, yes. So you can't be
no laxity.
Lackadaisical. Yeah. Lackadaisicalness.
Yeah.
So one should not allow the lackadaisicalization of your devotional service.
Your philosophy of lackadaisicalization.
Yes. Yes, that's
so we're more anti-lackadaisicalization. English.
Lackadaisicalization.
Now, if this was 1,000 years ago, we wouldn't have a problem. We could do this. Because right? That's what English was before.
We would be expected to.
Yeah, that's normal. Okay. Okay, so if one's weak, then it may not be taken seriously. But as one advances, then, you know, then you have to be more careful. Because you know, just like the child may do something wrong, and all the adults let them go. Mm-hmm. You know, but the adult does something wrong, then it's like, you know, who invited this guy? You know? The person who commits offense, though he is capable of discrimination, does so because of wickedness. The person who cannot recognize offense does so without much wickedness. It means there has to be some impurity, otherwise why would they be doing what they're doing? The obstacle for Satadhanus, becoming a dog, who is capable of recognizing offense, was suitable for him, even though he constantly worshipped the Lord. Though ignorant people and the mouse committed offense, their attainment of perfection is suitable, since one can overcome offense by the strength of worship if one is not wicked in nature. So these must be specific examples.
Shatadanus
is what I'm saying, the mouse.
Shatadanus appears to be the name of someone.
Yes, Shatadanus seems to be. He became a dog, but then there's also the mouse. Yeah. So it seems that he's quoting probably very well-known stories that somehow or another we don't know. But it could be that this is Bhaktisandarbha, right? So that by the time we get to Bhaktisandarbha, all these stories will have been told. Because to establish the main points, you have to have all the sub-points. Like that. So then the Anuchedas will take us through that whole logic. Right? Pride in bhakti or other things arises from the offense of disrespecting the devotees. Daksha, because of previously insulting Shiva, was born as a son of the Pajetas. In that life, he also offended Narada. Those who attain results by only once worshipping the Lord did so because they did not have offenses from previous life or this life. One should somehow or other worship the Lord even once at death. Right? If nothing else, at least at death, he should remember the Lord, even if he didn't do anything before that. Right? If one even once chants the name of the Lord at that time, which shows its power because of worship of the Lord in this life or previous life, one attains the Lord directly. So that's why if you can chant Hare Krishna at the time of death, then you go back to Godhead. Like that. But if at the time of death you're wondering if you left the stove on or not, then you got a problem.
You become a stove.
It's possible, yes. But you might be the gas, right? Yeah, you can come back in a million years and your body will be, you know, burned and things. Okay.
Noble gas.
Noble gas, yeah. Oh, Arjuna, whatever one remembers the Lord while giving up his body, he attains that condition in his next life. Does that work? Somehow or another, I was trying to go through very slowly here.
There's two verses mixed together there. The first verse says, if you remember Krishna at the time that you go to him, and the second verse gives the general principle of whatever you remember at the time of death, that you attain.
Aha.
8, 6, and 8, 7.
Okay. If one has no offenses, then destruction of karmas does not even depend on repeated chanting. This is the case of Ajamil, who destroyed all karmas by chanting once. The servants of Yama, who had heard the name of the Lord many times, did not attain the same effect. You know, because they were grumpy. Though most sinful, I must have done some auspicious acts to see those best of devatas, by which I have become joyful. Srimad Bhagavatam 6.2.33. Okay. Yeah, because we see here is that we're trying to distinguish between remembrance of the Lord is perfection, and not remembrance of the Lord, no matter how good it is not. And then we'll be able to appreciate Ajamil. Right? Because otherwise, it's like he does nothing right. How can anything go right for him? Yeah. 161. So that means if one's doing and it takes a long time, that means that there's something previously behind it. if one takes it up and moves very quickly, it means there's nothing behind it, a problem.
Yes.
Right? You know?
Yes.
So you see that. Sometimes somebody comes, becomes a devotee, and very quickly just moves on through. And others, then, you know, plodding along like that. It just means what is there in the background. That's all. Is that? Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
So to overcome any offense, we have to suffer the consequences one way or another. Otherwise, it's not possible. We
can't. Basically, there must be. What I mean is the most important thing is going to be, as Manu mentions, the understanding of the wrongness of it and the determination not to do that again.
Mm-hmm.
Like that. That's the main thing to do. So whether that can be gained on a subtler platform, you know, like when something comes up and you just think, well, I shouldn't do like that. But you do anyway, because everything seems so nice. And then as it goes, it comes up again, but there's a little bit more serious consequences, and then till it gets to really freak out point, and then we go, okay. You know, like that. So it's just a matter of wherever we'll... That's the glory of Krishna karma, is that it can happen at the subtler stages if we take it at the subtler stages. Otherwise, it'll go to its more gross stages, and then it becomes a little more obvious that it's good for your health. Right? Like that. Okay. 161. Bharata, only after giving up the deer body, attained the Lord in the next body, even though he had chanted the Lord's name as a deer. Whereas Ajamila attained the Lord in his existing body by chanting the Lord's name at the time of death. Right, so he was just there, and then he was brought back from there, and then continued living in that same body. Right? And then like that, then he went. So, but we saw is that when he came back, then he started at Nishta and then moved forward very quickly.
Yes.
Like that.
But the point is that both of them actually moved forward very quickly, isn't it?
Both
Bharat and Ajamila. It's not a big deal, actually. They both go back.
They both go back to Godhead. Yeah. Now we're talking about Ajamila here, and Bharat. We're comparing Ajamila at that end of his life, and we're talking about Bharat Maharaj at this point.
Yeah.
But so that works for this story. But we're not talking about Ajamila, why he fell in the first place. So that must have been something from his Purupta karma, right? But because there was no offenses there, therefore here one moved quickly. You know what I'm saying? So that's the point: is that you take the example where it applies. You know, you can't say, well, but he's this, but that doesn't apply to us.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. How can that be? But Bharata, a great devotee, had attained the Lord already, for the Lord was constantly in his heart, even as a deer. Thus, there is no deviation from attaining success after once worshipping the Lord at the time of death. Is that something? So, having worshipped the Lord at the time of death, then that result won't be lost. It'll always be to some auspicious end. Like that. So even for Bharat Maharaj, it worked out auspiciously.
Yep.
For persons fixed in jnana, yoga, and karma, gaining such a birth with the remembrance of Narayan at the end while rejecting the other processes is the best. Srimad Bhagavatam 2.16. The commentary says, the real result of birth is remembering Narayana. Whatever is attained by jnana, yoga, and karma is not attained independently. Remembering the Lord while dying is the highest result. One cannot describe its glory. Right? So when it says, the commentary says, that is, that's Shri. Right? So that's, so the... You know, when they say the commentary, it means that. Otherwise, they'll say Jiva Goswami said this, Sanatana Goswami, Rupa Goswami, like that. Mm-hmm. Or they'll mention the name of the Tika.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or both. You know, Sanatana Goswami in his Dikdarshini Tika said, you know, like that.
Yeah.
But if it just says the comment, they don't even say the commentator, they just say the commentary.
Yeah.
Yes. Verses 27 to 31. Bharat Maharaj becomes a deer in his next life. Because at the time of death, his mind was fully absorbed thinking of a deer, like we see by the nice poetics and all that. He was definitely absorbed.
Yes. Right? Very much.
Maharaj Bharat took his next birth from the womb of a deer. However, because he was advanced spiritually, he did not forget devotional service. Sukadeva Goswami continued. At the time of death, the king saw that the deer was sitting by his side, exactly like his own son, and was lamenting his death. Actually, the mind of the king was absorbed in the body of the deer, and consequently, like those bereft of Krishna consciousness, he left the world. He left the world, the deer, and his material body, and acquired the body of the deer. However, there is one advantage. Although he lost his human body and received the body of a deer, he did not forget the incidents of his past life. So he remembered everything that he was, you know, so and the instructions of Rishabhdev, his service to the Lord, and then the mistake of getting attached to the deer. Right? So now, if the problem is getting attached to deer, so now he is a deer. So, but what should he do?
Not get attached
to deer. So he doesn't hang out with the other deers. Right? You know. Yeah. Watch out for the deer. You thought they were cute and cuddly. Yeah, okay. 27. Srila Prabhupada comments. There was a difference between Bharat Maharaj's acquiring a deer body and others acquiring different bodies according to their mental condition at the time of death. After death, others forget everything that has happened in their past lives, but Bharat Maharaj did not forget. According to Bhagavad Gita, whatever state of being one remembers when he quits his body, that state he will attain without fail. Bhagavad Gita 8.6.
So then that 8.7 must be the specific one about the drawing.
I think it's the other way around, 8.5.
8.5, probably.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Oh, so this is the one that was quoted before.
Yeah. I've misquoted.
Yeah, well, it's probably just there was something, or he put them, the two together into one, but then the translation didn't properly bring out how he had combined them.
Yeah.
After quitting his body, a person gets another body according to his mental condition at the time of death. At death, the person always thinks of that subject matter in which he has been engrossed during his life. Mm-hmm. Can you take birth as a bucket of hollow?
I sincerely hope so.
In a bucket of hollow.
Maybe in a bucket of hollow. Yeah. Okay. According to this law, because Bharat Maharaj was always thinking of the deer and forgetting his worship of the Supreme Lord, he acquired the body of a deer. However, due to his having been elevated to the topmost platform of devotional service, means Uttamadhikar, right? He did not forget the incidents of his past life. So because he was on the liberated platform, but wasn't exercising it properly, you know, in remembrance of Krishna, right? But he still maintained that platform, though he took on the body of a deer. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Maybe your Vastu Siddhi can be a bucket of power in the spiritual world.
Oh, yeah, that could work. This special benediction saved him from further deterioration. Otherwise, then, as a deer, he would have gotten absorbed in this. You develop those habits subconsciously. Then, when you do come back to human life, then you have these habits of going for long walks out of the field and having some, how you say, a blade of grass hanging out of your mouth. You know, because eating it doesn't work in this life, but it sure did last life. Right? It is proved herein that due to the grace of the Supreme Lord, a devotee is never vanquished. Due to his willful neglect of devotional service, a devotee may be punished for a short time, but he again revives his devotional service and returns home back to Godhead. Yeah, so never vanquished, so we see it moves forward. So even we see there, as I probably mentioned, the Goswamis, you know, as the, how you say, monkeys, dogs, and turtles, that still, it's not a disadvantage. It's not an ideal situation, but the point is they're in the holy dham. They're being, as an animal, you can't commit sinful activity, so you're just being purified. So it's an advantage, you know, it's not like they ended up, you know, somewhere else, you know, it's not like they were a dog in China or something. That's not good. That's really not good.
But it can be very short.
That's also, it could be a very short life. Yeah, that's true. From that angle, then it could have its advantage, right?
Maharaj, this thing of Vrindavan, when the dog take his birth in Vrindavan, but leave his body outside, does this make a difference? Go back to the dead?
I'm just thinking of all those meetings where the managers are trying to get rid of the dogs and someone's outside and saying the same thing.
Yes.
But where is outside?
Krishna.
Because Vrindavan is down to Koshi, and I don't think they take him farther than that. Right? You know, and here it goes up to Ranagat or so, and they just, you know, take him a little farther away. But nowadays they don't even take, now they're somebody's pet these days. Sukadev Goswami continued. Although in the body of the deer, Bharat Maharaj, due to his rigid devotional service in his past life, could understand the cause of his birth in that body, considering his past and present life, he continuously repented his activities. Speaking in the following way, in the body of a deer, Bharat Maharaj began to lament, "What misfortune! I have fallen from the path of the self-realized. I gave up my real sons, wife, and home to advance in spiritual life, and I took shelter in a solitary place in the forest. I became self-controlled and self-realized, and I engaged constantly in devotional service, hearing, thinking, chanting, worshiping, and remembering the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudeva. I was successful in my attempt, so much that my mind was always absorbed in devotional service. However, due to my personal foolishness, my mind again became attached, this time to a deer. Now I have obtained the body of a deer and have fallen far from my devotional practices." You know, because it means you can't even go out and, you know, pick flowers and stuff.
Unfortunately.
Yes, I think. 28-29, Srila Prabhupada advises, "Those who have taken to Krishna consciousness should be very careful that not a single moment is wasted and not a single moment is spent without chanting and remembering the Personality of Godhead and His activities. As far as the members of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness are concerned, they have sacrificed everything to push on this Krishna consciousness movement. Yet they must take a lesson from the life of Bharat Maharaj to be very cautious to see that not a single moment is wasted in frivolous talk, sleep, or voracious eating." Sukadeva Goswami continued. But so in other words, it's one's there, but it doesn't mean that one sacrificed everything, but one has to be careful, cautious, one doesn't fall back into previous habits. That's the point. Sukadeva Goswami continued. "Although Bharat Maharaj received the body of a deer, by constant repentance he became completely detached from all material things. He did not disclose these things to anyone, but he left his mother deer in a place known as Kalanjara Mountain, where he was born. He again went to the forest of Shaligrama and to the ashram of Pulastya and Pulaha." Oh, okay. So that's another name. Remember it had another name before? Pulaha Ashram. Like that, but it's also known as the forest of Shaligram because it said Gandaki, because the Gandaki River is where all the Shaligrams are from. So the area is also known as Shaligram. Like that. "And to the ashram of Pulastya and Pulaha," Srila Prabhupada comments, "although Bharat Maharaj acquired the body of a deer, he again left his hearth and home. In this case, the mountain Kalanjara. No one should be captivated by his birthplace and family. One should take shelter of the association of devotees and cultivate Krishna consciousness." But so, again, so he was there, he left his family, and that got attached to a deer. So now, one, he's not going to get attached to a deer, but he's going to do like he did before and leave family and that, which has happened to be deers. Mm-hmm. Right? It also means he didn't tell anyone, so it means they can't communicate, so he's not going to tell them, you know, "I'm going off of self-realization." It's kind of like, what? You know, they're not going to know what he's talking about.
Need to know basis.
Going for such a green pasture. Sukadeva Goswami continued, "Remaining in that ashrama, the great king Bharata Maharaj was not very careful not to fall victim to bad association." Right, so that's the problem. He had bad association, right? Because it was just the deer, and the deer wasn't advanced in Krishna consciousness. It wasn't like Bharat Maharaj was taking care of himself as a deer who was self-realized, right? Like that. You'd need a sci-fi to be able to do that one. Yeah. But, you know.
Would that even work?
Would you say that he was himself in that association?
He was himself a bad association. Dean wasn't so much.
No, but yes, you could say. But the time. But it's just the deer was I think was, what was the year word used? Immature? What was the term they used before? Just saying it wasn't very developed.
Premature.
Huh?
Premature.
No, about the deer. Remember it said something about it was making the comment the deer wasn't very like advanced association. You know, like that. Yeah, okay, it's his own bad association, but it's, the deer didn't help.
No.
I say, the greatly appreciated cuteness and cuddliness of the deer still got in the way of his, you know, proper devotional development.
Takes two to tango.
Yes. Bharat Maharaj tangoing with the deer?
Yes.
Who played the music? Really?
I don't know.
Okay. Without disclosing his past to anyone, he remained in that ashram and ate dry leaves only. Right? Because he could have come up to the sages and that who were there and start, you know, writing on the ground in Sanskrit and then, you know, he could have told them who it was and stuff. But he doesn't. And ate dry leaves only, right? So he didn't even eat the fresh green leaves. He only ate the dry leaves, right? He was not exactly alone, for he had the association of the Supersoul. In this way, he waited for death in the body of a deer. Bathing in that holy place, he finally gave up that body. So it looks like even as a deer, he would take his bath. So he would remember the Lord, so then what he could do as a deer, hearing, chanting, and remembering the Lord, he would do that service all day. So he just waited until... Footnote 7. Even though in the body of a deer, Maharaj Bharata did not forget the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, when he was giving up the body of a deer, he loudly uttered the following prayer. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is sacrifice personified. He gives the results of ritualistic activity. He is the protector of religious systems, the personification of mystic yoga, the source of all knowledge, the controller of the entire creation, and the Supersoul in every living entity. He is beautiful and attractive. I am quitting this body, offering obeisances unto him, and hoping that I may perpetually engage in his transcendental loving service. Uttering this, Maharaj Bharata left his body. Srimad Bhagavatam 5:14-45. Okay. Oh, that's later. Okay, I was going to say, there's only 30 verses, right? Where's the 42? Okay. Srila Prabhupada concludes, holy places like Vrindavan, Hardwar, Prayag, and Jagannath Puri are especially meant for the execution of devotional service. Vrindavan specifically is the most exalted and preferred holy place for Vaishnava devotees of Lord Krishna, who are aspiring to return back to Godhead, the Vaikuntha planets. There are many devotees in Vrindavan who regularly bathe in Jamuna, and this cleanses all the contamination of the material world. By constantly chanting and hearing the holy names and pastimes of the Supreme Lord, one certainly becomes purified and becomes a fit candidate for liberation. However, if one purposely falls victim to sense gratification, he has to be punished, at least for one lifetime, like Bharatma. Right? So that means that the animals in that, in the Dham, there's every chance they are devotees in this position. That's why, you know, we deal with them that, you know, they're in the position of an animal, and if they're, you know, not like Bart Mooney here, who's staying out of the way and being careful not to disturb anything, they are coming disturbing. It's just a matter of stopping them from disturbing. It's not that you actually try to bother them or hurt them, right? Because otherwise, why are they here unless there's somebody unique? Right? And then don't worry, they bother each other enough. You know, we don't have to add. Yes.
Maharaj, here, as a deer, Bharat Maharaj is remembering the Lord and leaving the body.
Right.
It looks like because the Lord wanted next to take life as Jadava, because he is remembering as deer.
That means yes. So then now he comes back, because it's from human life that you generally go back to Godhead.
Yes.
Means you can go from animal, but that's there, but there's something here, it's the Lord's desire. Because now we'll hear his realization. Because we have to remember, there's a contiguous consciousness to these three lifetimes. So he's heard instructions from his father, Rishabdev. He's practiced them very successfully. Then he's fallen from that position. Then being remorseful and then being absorbed in how important it is. Then as Jarabharat, then he's, you know, has that full realization. So now he just doesn't become involved at all. Right? Yeah. The example of Bharma shows that a devotee must be extremely cautious in his spiritual practices. Otherwise, a little material attachment can cause him to fall down again into material existence. A devotee should make sure not to 1. Neglect the rules and regulations and the regular chanting of Hare Krishna. 2. Engage in material compassion. Rather, he should endeavor to elevate spiritually conditioned souls. 3. Become attached to material things, which are the cause of our material bondage. A devotee who is serious about advancing Krishna consciousness must make sure he doesn't become attached to anything but Krishna. Even while engaging in spiritual practices, his advancement may be stopped. And so, rules and regulations, what the acharyas give us, we follow that. Then we have to be see that in our dealing in the world, we deal properly according to culture and etiquette, but we don't overdo that. Otherwise, it may get in the way, because in our dealing and compassion, it's because they are servants of Krishna, but they just don't necessarily know it, or they're devotees, so we deal properly. But we don't get attached to the etiquette itself, and that kind of aspect, right? And then we shouldn't become attached to material things, because those become cause of bondage. Recently, Krishna consciousness, great, but otherwise, not so great. Mm-hmm. So, yes.
Can we say that it depends on the karma of the person if you can follow those strictly, less strictly?
On one sense, yes. But it also means that the parabdha karma in here we means is that there's offense and stuff. So that's why it makes it harder. If it's easier, then just means because the heart is more pure. And if it's harder, it means that there's... You know, that's why we're saying if someone says that, oh, we're... you know, we can't relate to all this, you know, rules and regulations because this is all Indian stuff and we're not from India. Then what you're talking about is some serious, contamination in the heart. Otherwise, it should be easy enough. Does that make sense? So that's the point. But by following all this nicely, then all that thing, that all becomes corrected. Does that make sense? So all we have to do is stick to this, and it will work fine for us. So it doesn't matter where we're starting from. Point is we started. That's the most important thing. So if we find that, you know, we advance very, very quickly, then nice. And if we don't, then we just stick at it, and it will. Once those things become cleared, it becomes very quick again. Anyway. So that makes sense. So there's no loss whenever it is. Okay. So now this next page we will meditate on deeply.
No question.
Yeah, or at least you have to be able to hang out with Gopa Kumar and Mahakalapura so you can actually see what's going on rather than be blinded by the light. Okay, then, precious, wow. Chapter 9, the Supreme Character of Jarabharata. Pratigya. Devotee is firmly convinced of his spiritual identity. The Pratigya of this chapter is expressed in Srila Prabhupada's purport in verse 20. These are some of the great qualities of a pure devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. First, a devotee is firmly convinced of his spiritual identity. He never identifies with the body, right? So that means his spiritual identity means as the sole servant of Krishna. It doesn't mean that I'm a peacock in Vrindavan or that. We're not talking that kind of thing. He never identifies with the body. He is firmly convinced that the spirit soul is different from the body. Consequently, he fears nothing, right? Because otherwise, if I'm the body, then there's something to fear. But if I'm not the body, what's the fear? Right? Even though his life may be threatened, he is not at all afraid. He does not even treat an enemy like an enemy. Such are the qualifications of devotees. Devotees are always fully dependent on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and the Lord is always eager to give them all protection in all circumstances. Right, so that's the point, is they surrender to Krishna, they're always absorbed in Krishna, therefore, you see, Krishna is always eager to give them protection in all circumstances. So therefore, he becomes one's protector and maintainer.
So right? You may say that there's still the fear of forgetting Krishna?
But that's not material.
Oh. It's just, consequently, fear is nothing.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah.
In this case, something means the material.
Yeah.
Like that. Spiritual is not, because it's on that body. In other words, what happens to the body is not worried about.
Yeah.
That. You know, that you're worried about the soul. That is you. So that's not a false identity. You know? Right? So he's convinced of a spiritual identity. So he gives up the material identity. Yeah. Ajatna. That's it. Let's stop.
Om Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Shri Prabhupada ki Jai Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki Jai Jainatai Gaura Prabhupada ki.
The question is point that like a person committing offense but is ignorant, then it's more is mercy to the weak, like he forgives him.
Yeah, it just means that they are not as affected.
Sometimes the situation that is a new devotee is very enthusiastic about it, but they are doing something but it's wrong.
Yeah, so that's what it's talking about.
Yeah.
They don't get affected by this. But once they know what's right and wrong, then they get affected by it.
Okay, so there's been this situation that, I know that this is what they're doing is wrong, but they are so enthusiastic that I don't know what to tell them.
What I say. So don't worry about it at the time, because they're so absorbed in the service. They'll get more benefit out of the service than what they're doing wrong, because it's not so much that it's an offense. It's just the wrong thing to do. You know, unless they're disturbing devotees and this, then you need to tell them. But if it's just that technically not doing it right, then don't worry about it. It's the enthusiasm that's good. And as they do that, they'll get the knowledge and the attachment, they will be able to function and do it properly.
It's just like I'm seeing something wrong and I'm not saying anything. I don't know what to say at that point.
So don't worry about it. You just, you know, see at what point you can say something.